Oh, hi! Good morning. Come on in. You're just in time. Take a seat.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Roo. Sir, I have a problem with my boiler.
How about some coffee? Cream, sugar?
What is the best backup generator made today?
Blueberry scone, perhaps?
When you turn on the hot water, it whistles like a train.
Get comfy, because Lou Casa, tu casa. And he's taking your questions till 10. Right here on House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Good morning. My name is Lou Manfredini, and this is House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. This hour of our show is sponsored by Ace Hardware. And sponsored by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Dome T was given the mass transit update, and I was thinking when I was at the Cork and Carry yesterday, I was drinking Green Line. I wasn't on the Green Line.
See what you did there.
Oh, see what I did there? It was delicious, by the way. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, Lindsay. How are you this morning? Nice to have you all here with us.
We woke up to fall. I didn't expect this.
This is my favorite time of year. Absolutely. When I meet people and I travel around the country and I'll tell them I'm from Chicago. Oh, Chicago. Never been to Chicago. And I go, well, don't come in the winter, but come now. Because now, I mean, really, spring, summer, and fall is just a terrific time to be here.
Nothing like summertime shies, we call it.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah, but this fall weather is just perfect. And it's a beautiful morning. And I'll tell you what, I know you all hear this all the time, but in this studio that I'm sitting in right now, the sun is coming up over Lake Michigan behind me, right where the river and the locks head out into the lake, and it really is just a spectacular view. It really is something else. So, anyway, good morning to all of you. Nice to see you. Got to see Joe Brand out there at the Cork and Carry yesterday, briefly.
Yeah, popped on by. It was a fun. There was a lot of buzz going on.
It really was, right? There was really a nice vibe going. I have a feeling that the Sox are going to own the Cubs in this series. I don't know why. I mean, we are the radio home of the Chicago White Sox. I am a Cubs fan, but going into that game, I'm like, you got these young guys. They got nothing to lose. Right. They just want to go out there and have fun. They're playing loose. And
that's what I'm saying.
They look good. I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm a fan of baseball and just watching them play. And, you know, I've been listening to a lot of games on this radio station. Which, you know, they're inching along. They're getting better every time, and they're learning, and, you know, they're a young crowd, and it's, you know, bad for Cubs fans, good for Sox fans, so good for them.
Right, and this is the time where you can spoil the Cubs fans' time when they go to the ballpark, or even spoil their season. That's exactly what they're trying to do.
Right.
Give something for the Sox to play for.
Right.
And I'm with you, Lou. They could definitely have the edge right here.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, it was fun to be out there. It was fun to have our broadcast. I got a chance to Steve Cochran's show was out there. Steve and just with Justin and Bill and Wendy were there. John did his show. Steve Bertrand did his Wintrust Business Lunch. We had a nice crowd out there. It was really nice to see all the listeners and talk to them. I think that the more we do that, it's just a lot of fun. Actually, I'm told will possibly be doing this show, Joe Brand, from the Northwestern Nebraska game.
All right.
Out in Evanston.
All right.
So we may have to figure out a way to get you out there, you know, because it's a whole sports thing.
Right. That is a sports thing. You're right. I'm glad you're invited to something finally.
Exactly. Can I tell you what happened to me after I was ranting and complaining that my wife said stop complaining?
You weren't really ranting and complaining. Okay, maybe a little. Yes,
sir. Wait, are you agreeing with him?
Yes. Can you not hear me?
I got a text message from Doc Emmerich afterwards. He goes, he said,
I can't. You read it to me afterwards.
And? Oh, they did forget you, but don't worry. I'll bring you up to the booth when we're in town.
Ooh. Good old Doc.
Uh-huh.
Saving the
My
day.
Man. Yeah. I don't need you peasants. You people. Just go about your little, your puny little lives. I'll be with Doc Emmerich up in the booth. And maybe he'll let me hit the horn button. I don't know that the horn button's there. They're very protective of the horn button. Remember Steve Alexander when he was here? He was working a couple Hawks games or something. He said, oh, no, they don't let anybody touch the button. I want to know how it's all wired, of course. That's how I work. So Anyway, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We have a bunch coming up today for you. Number one is a really cool Nutulu 2 that's going to help you charge devices in areas where you may not have a place to plug in. And you'll learn more about that coming up. And it's as easy as screwing in a light bulb.
I'm so mad I didn't think about that.
You didn't use that in the thing?
What is it called? A limerick? No.
A haiku?
Haiku?
It's not a haiku.
No.
It's an assimile.
I'm mad I didn't come up with it.
All right, well.
You know, good one.
I went to Millikan University. As you can see, I'm wearing my Millikan proud today. And on Friday on WGN television, I did a story about some gas safety tips, in particular when it comes to being inside your home. The stories that came out of Massachusetts were an anomaly. This overpressurization that occurred over this gas pipeline system as they were doing the repairs. But we're going to talk with someone from People's Gas and North Shore Gas today with some safety tips from the gas company themselves that I think is good to hear. Some things maybe you're not aware of that are signs that there's a gas leak. Also, some devices that you can purchase to help you stay a little safer as well. I'll tell you essentially what it is a gas detector, an explosive gas detector that also happens to be a carbon monoxide detector. I've been using one in our own home for, gosh, probably 10 years. I need to replace it, actually, because it's about time to replace it. And I did just recently replace it, but it's just something that I think that location of where you place it to give you some peace of mind if there was ever a leak. Certainly, you're going to smell it if there's a leak, but we're going to learn about that as well. Then later on this morning, you may have heard me talk. Hey, did you get my music that we talked about yet?
No. I couldn't remember what you asked for, and I couldn't find the email. So can you whisper it to me in my ear?
Sure. I need the music from North to Alaska. Did I just whisper that? But there's an original one, too. I want the original guy. We're going to Alaska. We're going on a cruise. And I have the funniest set of Facebook posts that are coming that Lindsay helped me with. I'm so excited about. But we're not going to do them just yet. But if you go to my Facebook page, there's a link there from the nice folks over at Kelly Cruises that in June of 2019, myself, my wife, and my family are going to go on a cruise on this unbelievably beautiful ship. And it is going to be 7 days from Anchorage to Vancouver. Yesterday, I got a text message from Lindsay. Lindsay said to me, what's the name of that boat you're going to be on? And I sent it to you because your friend Michelle is in the travel industry.
That's right.
And so this morning when I saw you, I'm like, oh, did Michelle? But she doesn't do cruises, right?
She doesn't. No.
Right.
I mean, she doesn't book them. She goes on them, but she doesn't. She works in that.
Right. And so I said, oh, has she ever heard of this ship? And what did she say?
She said, oh, yeah, that is a very, very nice cruise line.
Yeah, so it should be exciting. So we're going to talk to Susan Kelly Costello, who's the owner of Kelly Cruises and Tours, after 9 o'clock this morning to learn a little bit more about the trip and how you can sign up. I know some people have already booked it. We're super excited. It has always been something that has been on our list of things to do, and we can't wait to have you join us. It'll be a lot of fun. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let me do a quick break, and then I'll get to your phone calls right after this. There you are, Ron. Hey,
good
Ron.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call, Lou. Fall is my favorite time of the year also. I have a ranch house with a two-car attached garage. And when I bought it 35 years ago, the roof over the garage was like sloping inward, if you can imagine that. And I had somebody come out. He put a brace in, and he said that when the house was built, they used, 2x6s instead of 2x4s, or that's what he was telling me anyway. But I noticed that the same thing is happening again. And back when I had it repaired, he said, you know, he can only brace it so much, but it's starting to, like, curve back in again. Would you have any suggestions?
The actual rafters of the garage, when you look at them, are bowed almost like an old horse or something like that, right?
Correct.
All right. I mean, the only way to correct this is you're going to have a carpenter come in and sister some new rafters next to the 2x4 and actually jack this up in order to get that bow out. Now, this is a little bit of a tricky proposition. They have to cut the, say it's going to be a 2x6 or a 2x8, and they have to place it on top of the wall, and they literally push it up, and they're going to have to cut the ridge board out to be able to do this. It can be done, but you need someone that really knows what they're doing to figure this thing out. Now, the other alternative is to rip the entire roof off the garage and rebuild it all. But that's going to cost a heck of a lot more money. I think that if they were to sister in new rafters next to each individual 2x4 rafter that you have, you should be able to get that bow out. And, I mean, it's probably a... it's a few thousand dollars to fix this. You're in Mount Prospect. So one of the places I would go to find a good carpentry contractor is at nary.org, N-A-R-I.org, nary.org. Plug in your zip code, and then look for carpentry contractors in your area. And that way you can find a carpentry contractor in your area. All right. Ron, thank you so much for the phone call. We're just having a little bit of problems with our phone system in here.
Hey, we've all got our areas of expertise. Lou's area just happens to be your house.
I've been listening to you for a few months now, trying to catch you saying something not quite right, but you got it all going on.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Never
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Dan is in Chicago. Dan, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Lou, how are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
First of all, this is my wife coached your daughters in lacrosse.
My wife coached your wife is...
Audra.
Oh, very nice. Nice to chat with you. How is Audra?
Yeah. She's great. She's at a tournament right now for volleyball that she's coaching, so she's nice and busy.
Very nice. How can I help you?
So at my dad's house in Orland, he's got a 4x4 concrete pad off the man door of his attached garage.
Okay.
And it's severely sunk towards the house, towards the garage. Is there any way we can get that lifted and get it, you know, get some stone and stuff back underneath there to level it out without having to tear it all out?
Meaning you doing the work or having someone do it?
Either way.
Well, with a 4x4 slab, there's
that's a pretty big slab.
It's a pretty big slab, and trying to lift it yourself would probably take, you know, a half a dozen people with spade shovels that you would probably break trying to lift it, and then trying to prop it would be tough. Now, my friends at PermaSeal offer this service called PolyLevel. And this PolyLevel, they'll come in with a small little hole, and they'll drill a hole probably in the center of this thing, or maybe a couple of holes, and they will lift it up with this foam that literally, in a matter of minutes, you could drive a car over the top of it. But because it's an expanding foam, they have the ability to really control it properly. This would be a quick and easy job for them. And, you know, if it's is it an attached garage or a detached garage?
It's an attached garage, but the man door is on the side of it, so it's easily accessible.
Okay, so easily accessible.
There's nothing blocking it.
Yeah, so they could come in with the truck, bang, bang, knock it out, and literally you'd be done, and they would lift that existing slab. You probably wouldn't even know they were there because the holes that they use are much smaller. So I would just give them a call. 800-421-SEAL is their phone number.
Fantastic.
And nice to talk to you again, and say hello once again to your wife from us, all right?
All right. Thanks, Lalo.
Be well. Appreciate you calling 312-981-7200. This is Connie in Elgin. Connie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm terrific. How can I help you?
I got two questions. The I have a two-story house with a walkout basement, and where the basement is, there's a concrete slab there. And on the deck, what I did is I sealed the deck myself, and I dripped the sealer onto the concrete. Do you have anything that I can use to take that sealer off the concrete?
The deck is over the concrete slab? That's
yeah.
How it dripped? Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The sealer that you used, was it a stain or was it a clear sealer?
It was a stain. It was a stain.
It was stain. And how long ago did you do this?
Last week.
Oh, okay, good. All right. I want you to go buy a cleaner called Challenger.
Okay.
All right. And it's you can buy it in a spray bottle or a gallon jug. You'll probably just need a spray bottle. I want you to spray it onto the stain marks full strength.
Okay.
Wait about 5 minutes and then use a brass stripping brush.
Okay.
With the grain of the concrete back and forth and scrub it. Maybe you need to spray a little bit more, scrub it again, rinse it. And next time, use a drop cloth.
I know, but it was just...
It's just one little spot. I'm just going to do this little spot. It'll be fine.
Up and down. Okay. One other question is, we've been in the house 25, 26 years.
Yep.
And this is a wood deck. What is the life of a wood deck?
Oh, I mean, if you take good care of it and keep it stained and, you know, maybe replace a board here or there, there's no reason you wouldn't get 25 or 30 years out of a wood deck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a very resilient material. I mean, you know, it all depends on the exposure. You know, if it gets a lot of sun and you get boards that are really cracking, you have to replace those boards, but the substructure itself is, you know, pretty... Nothing's forever, but it can go a long time.
Okay. Well, yeah, I stain it every other year or every 2 years.
Just keep in mind, you know, when you look at those boards, Connie, when you're looking, if you see on the deck boards where you see a lot of veining, and if you could take a screwdriver and kind of push down in there and it goes into that board, you may want to replace that board and then just stain that to match. Or, you know, it's not uncommon that every few years you got to replace a few of the boards, but it can last a very long time.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Appreciate all the help. I didn't know what to do.
You got it. I appreciate you calling, and I hope it works for you. Lou Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We have a few open phone lines if you'd like to call in. And we will take a quick break and be back. Wait a minute. Can I hit the button? Right after this. It's time now for our new Tolu 2. This product is awesome. You want to charge your phone and an area where you don't have a plug. It is as easy as screwing in a light bulb.
We've all been there. You move your furniture, your lamps, your dressers, your desk, all trying to find and reach that plug so you can charge your phone, your computer, your devices. Or maybe you move the cord from upstairs to downstairs because it's more convenient for you to charge there, and then you lose it or you forget about it, and you're hauling that thing all over the house. Well, why buy a charger that always gets lost or borrowed or string extension cables through your bedroom or your office when you have power with in reach? With our new Tolu 2 power bulb, you can tap into the power of a light bulb anywhere you have a lamp. Power bulb is the world's first LED light bulb with dual USB ports that turn any lamp into a charging station. It's a super simple, elegant solution to the problems we face when we're constantly looking for convenient ways to charge our devices. This is one of those aha light bulb moments. Pun intended. Okay, and you don't have to worry. When you turn off the light, you're not going to lose power. There's a dedicated on-off button on the bulb that allows you to turn the light off while it continues to charge your devices. The Powerbulb USB charging LED light bulb goes for $39.99 on megatinycorp.com. Didn't get that? Well, I will put a picture, a video, a link right up on Lou's Facebook. So just clickety-clack your little fingers on over and check it out. That's this week's new Tolu 2.
Why didn't we think of this? You screw in this light bulb. It has two USB jacks in the bottom side of it. So when you're sitting at the couch and you want to plug it in, the video that we shot that's on Facebook was at Lindsay's house. It's the perfect application at your home because all the outlets are hidden behind the sectional and you plug it in. The only thing we don't like, Lindsay, and you said it, what you don't like is what?
I did feel as if this, it wasn't as sightly, what's the word I'm looking for?
As appealing.
Appealing to the eye. Just because there's a cord hanging down from the bulb. But if it's going to charge my phone when I'm sitting there watching TV and I want to be on my phone at the same time or whatever I'm doing,
yeah,
it's going to solve the
I mean, in a perfect
trick.
In a perfect world, like the end table that you have, I mean, I'm just thinking, you have a lamp and there's a drawer in your end table and you keep the cord there, mm-hmm. and then you're there and you plug the cord in. Now it's a little, you know, depending on the lamp to get the to slide it up into the bulb. It's,
yeah.
you know, it's not like the super easy thing. Maybe 2.0 is like a retractable mm-hmm. cord or something, which would be nice. Or you can buy lamps that have a USB at the mm-hmm. base. But this is, if you don't have that, you buy the bulb, it's LED. I do like the idea, the concept.
I love, and then like next to my bed is a great one too, because we don't have like our bed, our
nightstand.
Nightstand. No, our lamp is, our electricity is on like a, when you flip the switch on and you like, you have to turn the switch on and off.
Oh, you don't have, oh.
So our, it's, we have limited electrical outlets in our room.
Right. You know what I didn't think about earlier when we were talking about this this morning? It'd be a great college light bulb to send to a college kid in a dorm. Because there are not a lot of outlets in dorm rooms. There's like two. Oh, here's your two,
right.
and here's your two. And everybody overloads them like crazy, yeah. you know? And something like that, because it's LED,
right.
you get the best of both worlds. I like it. Check it out. It's up on our Facebook page as well. All right, let's take a quick call here. This is Jackie in Northern Michigan. Jackie, where are you in Northern Michigan? I'm holding up my hand. I'm holding up my hand with my thumb. Where am I putting my finger?
Okay.
Are you in are you in Alpena?
No, I'm near Traverse City.
Right here. I'm putting my, I know exactly where that is with my finger, so nobody can see it, but I know where you're at. How can I help you?
Well, we're up here. This is our little cottage that we come to.
Nice.
And we have had a water leak behind our, in our wall where the tub is, but we have an access door on the other side of the wall that we discovered the water leak. We've gotten that taken care of, but the door that is the access door has gotten mold on it, and I want to know how to clean it or what I need to do with it.
I want you to go to the hardware store and buy a spray bottle of Concrobium Mold Control.
Okay. Is there more than one type?
Nope. It's a spray. I mean, there's different sizes of bottles and different ones. You're going to do Concrobium Mold Cleaner, Mold Control, it's called. It's in a spray bottle. It's a safe product to use. You're going to spray it on the door. Let mm-hmm. it dry. Take a stiff nylon brush and brush all the mold off of it.
Okay.
Then spray it again and put the door back.
Put the door back. Okay. Very good. I've listened to you ever since you came on the air, and I always get good tips, but I haven't heard this one yet. So.
Oh, that's very nice, Jackie. Thank you so much for listening up there in Northern Michigan.
I also want to know, should I paint any black out paint over this area?
Well, you can. I mean, if you want to... if you want to repaint it, you can certainly do that. And, I mean, there's a bunch of different paints that have a mildecide in it that you could use. You could probably buy it while you're at the hardware store. You could buy a quart of Zinsser makes a paint with a mold block in it. What color is the door? White?
Yes.
Yeah. So buy a quart of the white Zinsser paint with the mildecide in it.
Mildecide.
It has a mildecide in it. It's a bathroom. I believe it's called Perma White. And it's by Zinsser, and it has a mold inhibitor in it.
Great, thank you. I go to my favorite Ace store up here.
Perfect. That's even better.
Okay.
Thanks, Jackie. I appreciate you calling. You always know when John Williams is here because I'm looking at through the glass to you, and then I see Joe and Domity, and they're all chomping on the donuts once John shows up. Coming up, the stories that matter with Domity Pongo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Don't go away. I was just handed this from Lindsay because, you know, I don't know my geography about Sweden and Switzerland. If you're in Switzerland, you're never more than 10 miles from a lake. In Sweden, the official language is Swedish. ABBA is probably the best-known Swedish band. No, that's Sweden. Yeah, Swedish. Yeah.
I'm so confused. Are you talking about Switzerland or Sweden?
That was Sweden.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Are you Swedish when you're from Switzerland, or are you Swedish
when you're from Switzerland?
Okay, wait a minute. ABBA is probably the best-known Swedish band.
Right, they're from
Sweden.
That's
on my Sweden sheet.
Yeah, they're from Sweden. That's correct.
So you're Swiss when you're from Sweden?
No.
So when you're from Switzerland, you're what?
You're Swiss.
You're Swiss. And when you're from Sweden?
You're a Swede.
You're a Swede. Oh, Swedish.
Mamma mia, mamma mia. Here I go again. Mama, how can I resist?
Not the smartest, the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm in the drawer. Welcome back, House Smarts Radio. This hour of our show is sponsored by Fox Home Center and by wetandforget.com. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Sarah has been kind enough to hang on in St. Charles. Sarah, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I am great. What's going on?
I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you.
I love watching your show and listening to you on the radio.
Thank you.
I purchased some marble tile, some subway tile to put in our bathroom. And the question is, do I get the sanded grout or the unsanded grout? Because I keep getting conflicting information.
Are we putting this on the floor or on the wall?
It's going on the floor, and it's a subway tile. It's a honed marble, so it's not the polished.
Right. So for the how big of a grout line are we going to go for?
So I guess I'm thinking like 1/8 to 1/16.
Mm-hmm. The kind of rule of thumb is that you typically put sanded grout on the floor and unsanded grout on the walls. And the sanded grout tends to give you a little bit more durable grouting on the floor. Now, the whole different direction you can go is to use an epoxy grout on the floor.
Okay.
It's a little bit tricky. You said that it's honed, meaning that there's no finish on it, right?
Right.
So you really have to. Who's going to do this work?
A handyman that has done a bunch of stuff in our house, but down other floors.
All right. And do you know what he or she, is it a, are they going to put, what's the subfloor going to be underneath this marble?
Well, some of the subfloors being replaced because I think all the subfloors being replaced. We had a leak in the pipe from the toilet, so sewer.
Okay.
So
we're going to put put some sort of concrete board under this,
right.
Correct? And yeah. Is this a master bath, a hall bath? What is it?
It's the only bath.
It is the only
house.
It's an old house. Okay. Have we, not to spend more of your money, but have you thought at all about putting an electric blanket under that tile to have a heated floor?
I would love to, but I have no idea how expensive that is.
How big is the bathroom?
You know, it's about, the area that's being tiled is about 32 square feet.
Okay. But within that 32 square feet, there's a toilet and there's a vanity and that kind of stuff?
Yes.
You could probably put that heated floor panel down. Just the material cost would be about $300.
Okay.
And it's going to be the greatest thing you've ever done.
Is that something that helps the durability of the tile or the?
No, it helps with the. It helps with the most amazing thing when you walk in there in the middle of winter and you're bare feet and the floor is warm and you're curled up on the floor because it feels so nice. And it also helps to, you know, heat the space as well. But just something to consider if you're doing all this work now and that's within your budget. They sell these panels in different sizes based on the size of the area you're going to cover. So you wouldn't put the panel under the vanity or under the toilet, obviously. It would just be in that flooring section that you'd be standing on in front of the vanity.
Okay.
So they have different sizes that you would purchase that goes down on the subfloor. You test it out. It has to be wired. You know, there's a little bit involved that goes into it. But once it's down, I've had it down underneath our stone floor in our master bath for 17 years without a single problem, and I still love it every single time I walk there. It's great. It's great.
So you see, so you think that the epoxy or the unsanded, because what I read was that it's hard to get. We're going to do, it's a white marble with like a gray veining, but we're not going to do like a white grout. It's going to be more like a gray.
Yeah, as long
as it's hard to get off the marble, and
well,
that's why it was recommended.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing, is that whomever's doing the work needs to know what they're doing. The grouting, whether it's sanded or not, I mean, the sanded would be better. Epoxy grout stays flexible. That, too, is you have to be very careful with how you use it because it has to be wiped off thoroughly. And either way, you just got to have the right people doing the job. If this person's done work for you in the past and did a nice job, then hopefully they can handle this as well.
Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling, Sarah. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. One other quick call here. Let's talk to Ellie, who's in the car. Hey, Ellie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. It's Eli. Thanks, Sue.
Oh, Eli, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I have a question. I just bought a house to rehab, and what an unfortunate, the guy had a lot of cats, and there's a lot of cat urine smell.
Ugh.
It was in the carpet and in the furniture. I got rid of everything, but there's still a slight odor of the cat urine. It might be in the subfloor. It's the hardwood floor that was covered with carpet.
Did the hardwood... Okay, but the... Yeah. What do we want to do with that floor?
Well, I'm going to eventually resand it and refinish it. Is there something we could put on it, either before or afterwards?
No, I think that what you're going to have to do is sand that floor, but you may notice if the cats were urinating on the floor, there were going to be some discoloration in a lot of the areas of the floor. And so
there is black spots.
Right, so you're going to sand it, and whatever black spots don't come up, you have to replace that flooring because that's probably where the concentration of that urine smell is. So the flooring contractor will take up all that flooring. After they do the first pass on the sanding, they're going to know. And then they'll resand it all. Before you put any finish on, we'll double check that anything didn't get into the subfloor. If we got into the subfloor, more than likely when they pull that area up with the dark patches, you can use something like Zinsser makes an odor killing primer that goes on kind of a milky white but then dries clear. So underneath those areas where the flooring would come up, they would put that odor killing primer down. We'd ensure that it doesn't smell anymore, finger in the new wood, then resand the whole floor and then finish it off.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Both hands on the wheel, Eli. Appreciate you calling. It's 8:20 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Get smart.
With my dad.
About your home.
Lou Manfredini.
It's House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Keith in Northbrook. Keith, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Good morning. I hope you can help me. I've got a one-story cedar-sided house, and for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been fighting mildew issues where the sun doesn't hit it. And I'm thinking of washing it, priming it, and using paint instead of stain because the fascia and the soffit were all painted, and I don't have mildew issues with those areas, just with the cedar siding.
All right, before we do any of that, I want you to run to the Ace Hardware in Northbrook, okay?
Yeah.
And I want you to buy a bottle of Wet and Forget in the spray hose nozzle bottle.
Okay? Yeah, I've tried that, Lou, and it comes back.
Well, does it work initially?
Yeah, it does initially, but it comes back. So
okay, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to spray it now. So what are we? We're in September, almost October. Spray it all down. Once it goes away, I want you to get in the habit of doing it every 3 months. Once it builds up some residual, after you do it probably the second time, you only have to do it once every 6 months. I'm telling you it'll work.
Okay, but what about painting it instead of staining it?
Well, I mean, the issue is the stain, you know, if it's a stain now and it's cedar, the wood and the tannins inside there, it's breathing. If you clean it and then you paint it, you're sealing everything up. The problem with painting cedar is that those oils still want to come out, and you've got that film over the top of it, and then you might get some bubbling of the paint. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's not uncommon that it does. And I just think you might be, if the stain you see on there is holding up, and it's just that you get this mildew over the top of it, I mean, maybe what I would do. When was the last time you had this stained, Keith?
Oh, five.
Okay. They could put you could try the wet and forget, as I mentioned, and then if you do this, you know, in 3 months from now, and then get into the habit of doing it every 6 months, basically twice a year, and it's gone, you're fine. But you may want to, there are stains that have built-in mildicides that could keep it from coming back as well.
Okay, does A sell that?
They do.
All right, I'll give it a try.
Give it a try, my friend. It's going to work, okay?
All right.
Appreciate you calling this morning.
Whatever's making you scratch your head this weekend, Lou is here to help.
We've got a problem with black mold.
Got a beep in my living room.
My furnace.
It's humming.
Just give him a call. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Before we get back to your phone calls, we were kind enough to reach out to Vanessa Hall, who is the manager of media relations over at People's Gas and North Shore Gas. Vanessa, thanks so much for joining us on a Saturday morning. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Lou.
These gas explosions that occurred in Massachusetts have caused a lot of concern. I'm sure that People's Gas and North Shore Gas probably got a bunch of phone calls where people were worried about what seems to be an anomaly of what occurred out there. I realize that the investigations are still going on, but the preliminary conclusions is that the gas system, which normally operates even here in the Chicagoland area under very low pressure, was overpressurized, and some of the older infrastructure failed, which caused some of these explosions. Does that kind of sound correct with what you're all hearing at your end as well?
That's what we're hearing right now as well, yes. But the investigation isn't completely done yet, so we can't be completely sure at this point.
The gas system, People's Gas, North Shore Gas, and then your partners over at NICOR that, you know, I know manage a lot of the surrounding suburbs, take security and safety of their systems very seriously. I think it's important for people to know that if they have any kind of concern or they smell gas, that the response time from you guys, if there's a problem, is pretty quick.
Definitely it is. If anyone ever suspects a gas leak in your home, they should immediately leave the building and take others with them. You know, go outside. They should avoid causing any sparks that can cause gas to ignite. They should also not turn on appliances or lights on and off. They shouldn't use flashlights. They shouldn't start a car. And they definitely should not use a cell phone in that area. Once they leave the area, they should call the utility and report the problem.
This is a obviously great advice. The odor that is in the natural gas is something that gets added to it. It's not anything. Natural gas has no smell. And so kind of that rotten odor smell, certainly it could be that you left a burner on or something like that, and that's a quick fix for you. But that ventilation portion of it is very important. The thing that I talked to, I did a little spot on the WGN television news, is that sometimes you can smell some gas outside, and you're not quite sure where it's coming from, and your lawn may be telling you something based on a leak that could be occurring in a gas line underground.
So if anyone ever suspects that there is a gas leak, they should immediately leave that area. So whatever area you're in where you're smelling that, please leave, like go blocks away. And make a phone call once you're away from that area. Because like I said, any small spark, even the use of a cell phone, could be dangerous.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, it really is. Now, are there things that people need to be aware of in their homes? I know that some of the appliances that have some of the gas flex lines that are older, it has been recommended in the past that some of those should be replaced because some of that metal has been found to kind of deteriorate over time. Does People's Gas or North Shore Gas have any recommendations on those?
Oh, yes. So some visual signs of something that something may not be right with your appliances include an orange or a yellow flame instead of a blue, a pilot light that constantly blows out, and sot or scorched areas around your appliances. So this could cause carbon monoxide, and you should contact a qualified contractor to come inspect those appliances.
Okay. I also know that at the hardware stores and home centers, we can purchase these explosive gas detectors that are also, in many times, a combination with carbon monoxide. Does People's Gas or North Shore Gas have any position on those detectors? Do they recommend them? Is it a good measure, or do you have a different approach when it comes to those types of devices to warn people if there's an explosive gas leak?
I think it's always important, you know, to have devices in your home that will help you detect, but you can't just rely on those also. So it is definitely important that everyone have a carbon monoxide detector, and they should have those detectors. If they live in a home that has several floors, they should have a carbon monoxide detector on every floor. And usually we recommend that these detectors be placed near bedrooms. So because of, you know, sometimes this could occur while people are sleeping. So it is always great to have these detectors in your home as another way. But definitely, you know, just use judgment. If you're smelling something that's different, if you, like you said, like you mentioned, if you smell rotten eggs, that could be something wrong in your home, and you should immediately leave the home, walk away from the area, and call your utility as soon as possible.
Great information. Now, Vanessa, do you guys have tips, safety tips, or best practices, perhaps on a website that people could go to learn more?
Definitely. People could visit peoplesgasdelivery.com, and we have all kinds of tips there. Safety tips. We have energy efficiency tips. We have carbon monoxide tips, winter safety tips. You can find everything on our website at peoplesgasdelivery.com. I also wanted to give the emergency phone number line.
Oh, absolutely.
If you ever suspect a gas emergency in your home, please call 866-556-6002.
Give me that number one more time because your phone just cut out a little bit. One more time on that number.
556-6002.
Vanessa Hall is the manager of media relations over at People's Gas and North Shore Gas. We really do appreciate you getting up with us on a Saturday morning and sharing this important information with our audience. I hope you have a nice weekend.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having us.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
This is Nick Offerman. Now for some more. This is Nick Offerman. Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Son of a. Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thank you, Nick. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Carrie's in Romeoville. Hi, Carrie. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, it's Terry with a T.
Terry with a T. Hi, Terry with a T.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This isn't real earth-shattering, but
I'm only taking earth-shattering questions. Can you give me an earth-shattering question? No, go ahead.
Yeah, here it comes. I live in an apartment, and I'm on the ground floor, and I have a cement patio.
Okay.
But I also have a bird feeder. And when it rains, because the bird feed gets all yucky, I put it on the deck or on the patio. Well, the birds poop, and I can't seem to get this poop off. And I want to get the poop stains off so the complex doesn't say, you got to get rid of your bird feeder with this mess on the patio.
All right, wait. So you have a bird feeder, but when it rains, you put the
I put it on the cement.
And is there like a cover
hanging
instead of hanging it? And so then that is a there's a cover over the top to keep it from getting wet.
No, the rain still gets in it.
I see.
So I take it off the hook I got it on, and then I put it on the cement patio. But then the birds obviously find it, and then they poop all over the patio.
I really want to get
that cleaned off.
Okay. Very simple to do. There is a cleaner that you're going to buy called Challenger.
Challenger?
Okay. Yep. Comes in a spray bottle. You can either do that or another product called Crud Cutter with two Ks. Okay. Spray it on the areas where the birds are pooping. Take a stiff nylon brush. If you want, you know, if you bought a deck scrubbing brush with a pole, you could just do this, you know, standing up. You don't get on your hands and knees. Spray it, let it sit there for 5 minutes or so, scrub it a little bit, rinse it, and you're done.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Earth-shattering question answered. You're so welcome, Terry with a T, 312-981-7200. This is Diane in McHenry. Hi, Diane. You obviously did not win the VFW Queen of Hearts raffle.
No, not at all.
Bummer.
Not at all. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a brand new bathroom remodel about 8 months ago, and I picked out a tile on my bathroom floor and the shower floor that's 1.5 by 1.5 inches, and it was grouted into the floor. However, every time I use that shower, it's like an ice skating rink. Other than putting a towel and a floor mat down, what can I do to rough up that floor area so I can enjoy my shower?
So this is in the actual shower?
Yes, the floor of the shower.
Wow. And this is a glazed tile?
You know what? It was recommended for the bottom of the shower, and I bought it from a very large dealer that takes care of bathroom wares like that.
Right.
And when my contractor installed it, I didn't realize how slick it was.
I think you have the wrong tile.
Okay.
I mean, I think that if it was recommended for a base.
Yes.
And I think they sent you or the wrong tile got installed, because that should not be the case whatsoever. Now, let me ask you this. You just remodeled it. The floor tile is different than the wall tile?
That is correct.
Okay. What is the wall tile?
That's a marble.
Okay, and the floor tile is what? Is it a 4x4? Is it a?
It's actually a 1.5 by 1.5 inch square, and they grouted it around the square. So little squares that came in.
So it's like a mosaic. It's a mosaic.
Yes.
Is it unglazed porcelain?
It could very well be, but I don't know what it is. I picked it out. The contractor installed it, and I can't use my shower unless I put a towel down or
a
mat down.
Maybe there's some kind of... Do you know if your contractor sealed the grout and the tile, the marble?
I believe he did.
I think they probably got sealer on the floor. Because based on your description, I'm going to say that you have an unglazed porcelain mosaic tile on the floor, which should not be slippery at all. I want you... Are we still working with the contractor?
No, that was last February, so it's been a while.
Okay. How handy are you, Diane?
I'm blessed with a very handy husband.
I want you to go to a tile store, and I want you to buy a product, a cleaner called Nano Scrub. Nano-Scrub.
Yes.
I want you to buy a nylon scrubbing brush that's going to go on the end of a cordless drill. And they make them in different thicknesses. This brush you can find at some hardware stores, but if not, there's a website called drillbrush.com. Okay?
Thank you.
And they have different grades of these drill brushes. You can probably buy them on Amazon too, but some hardware stores carry it, and you may even find it at the tile store. You're going to apply this nano scrub to the unglazed porcelain with the cordless drill, and you are going to scrub that whole base, and you're going to remove what I think is the sealer on this unglazed mosaic tile.
Okay.
And then I don't think you have to put the towel down.
Okay, if that doesn't work...
Call me back.
Okay.
I want all this work done, but I'm on next Saturday, so I want all this work done before next week. You got a lot of work to do, Diane.
Yeah, it may not happen, I'll be honest, but next week. But
Diane, I am looking for results. I'm not looking for excuses.
Okay, thank you so very much.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Domati Pongo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. We'll be right back. All right, I have a joke for you all, but I need you to think about this joke. It was sent to us from Steve Alexander, our former news guy. So you need to think about this, okay? It may be a delayed reaction, so just pay attention. There was a guy getting ready to tee off on the first hole when another golfer approached and asked, "Hey, could I join in?" The first one said he usually played alone, but agreed to the twosome. After the first few holes, they were even. The second guy said, "We're pretty evenly matched. How about we play for $5 a hole?" The first guy said that he wasn't much for betting, but agreed to the terms, and the second guy won the remaining 16 holes with ease. As they were walking off the number 18 hole, the second guy was busy counting his money. He confessed that he was the pro at the neighboring course and liked to pick on suckers. And the first fellow revealed that he was the parish priest. The pro was flustered and apologetic, offered to return the money, and the priest said, "You won fair and square, and I was foolish to bet with you. You keep your winnings." And the pro said, "You're a good sport, Father. Is there anything I can do to make it up to you?" Well, the priest said, "You could come to Mass on Sunday and make a donation. And if you want to bring your mother and father along, I'll marry them." Think about it. Think about it.
Do you have a crickets sound effect in there? I didn't get it. You had to tell me. I get it now.
Anybody?
I really want to get this.
I got nothing.
The priest said, "Well, you can come to Mass on Sunday, make a donation, and if you want to bring your mother and father, I'll marry them." What are you if you're born to an unwed mother?
Ah.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Or there's a hole in your roof.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Or your pipes are a banging.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Just call Boo.
Now back to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
You let this woman watch your children. Welcome back.
I'm a nice dude.
Nice House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. This hour of our show is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems and by Ace Hardware. Go to acehardware.com or your local Ace Hardware store. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Ken, who's in Prospect Heights. Ken, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How can I help you?
I think I know my answer already, but I got to run it by you anyway.
Okay.
I built a flower box off of an addition on our house. The bottom third of the house is Indiana limestone, so I have thin Indiana limestone that I'm going to be attaching to the frame that I built out of a cement block.
Okay.
And I'm tired of lifting 60-pound bags of mortar. So I was wondering if it's possible, can you recommend an adhesive that I could butter the back of the thin Indiana limestone that I'll put onto the concrete block, and then I'm going to obviously tuck point around it. Is that going to be good for our Chicago winters? And I just wanted your opinion.
You could use a exterior tile adhesive to attach that stone with a notched trowel, not unlike how you would do with a thin-set mortar. And you could buy a pre-mixed gallon. You know, one of the manufacturers is Henry, that you can buy at a tile store or whatever. It just needs to be graded for exterior application. And so you're going to use a notch trowel on the block,
right,
and set your limestone onto that.
Okay, I just worried about the winters and the
It'll stay flexible enough that you shouldn't have a problem. And if you're going to tuck point it as well, you're basically going to create your own monolith once it all hardens together, and it'll stay no problem.
All right, my back thanks you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is the number that Lucas called into. He's in Gilbert. Lucas, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
How can I help you, sir?
Yes, I'm calling because I have an unfinished basement at my house, and we have a home gym down there. And I also want to make a man cave, kind of a pool table, dartboard. And I want to know, what type of insulation do you suggest so I can keep the sound down in the basement and not throughout the house?
Are you going to stud out the walls and finish them with drywall? What are you going to do?
No, so the unfinished, I'm going to leave it exposed, unfinished. I just want to insulate the ceiling of the basement.
Oh, okay. And when I'm in that ceiling now and I look up, what do I see?
It is studded. It is the
floor joists and the mechanical and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and all basically, right. I just want to fill it with insulation, and I just want your advice. Is R19, will that suffice, or do I need to go, deeper?
The regular fiberglass insulation is not going to do a whole bunch for your sound attenuation, to be honest with you. There's not enough density in that insulation to do it. One of the things that would be a better use of your money and to get you the kind of results that you want is to do some sort of spray foam. Now, you're not going to go buy a bunch of, great stuff in cans because you go through a gazillion of them. But it's funny, Lindsay and I were talking about this earlier this morning. Dow, like the Dow Chemical Company, makes an insulation system that you can buy that is a two-part container system that will cover about, I believe it's around 200 square feet. That kit costs about $300. But if you spray that in between those joist spaces and you spray an inch, it'll expand to 2 inches, which I believe ends up giving you about an R18 or an R20 insulation. Now, that's one part of it. But what's more important is if it gives you the density that you're looking for, and that density in the insulation is what's going to give you the sound attenuation between the two floors. And you can buy this product at one of the big boxes. You can buy it online. Just be very careful and follow all the instructions. You want to be well ventilated when you're doing it. You want to make sure that you're wearing eye protection gloves, long sleeve shirt. It's pretty easy to use, but you just want to make sure you're taking all of the right safety precautions when you're applying this product. Thanks so much for the phone call. Need to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to speak with Susan Kelly Costello, who's the owner of Kelly Cruises and Tours. They're the ones that have put together this terrific trip that we have coming up in June of 2019, where we're going north to Alaska to go on a wonderful cruise on an amazing ship. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Alaska, go north,
north to Alaska. Is Johnny Horton dead or alive?
Big Do we know? Sam left Seattle.
You don't know? Well, wherever he is, he's got a good song, North to Alaska. We're going to play it every single day on the ship. When that is, we're going to be, you know what, I'm going to change my ringtone. Lindsay, I want that as my ringtone. Now, when anybody calls me, it's going to do that because in June of 2019, myself and my wife and my family are going to go north to Alaska. The rush is on. And we're going to jump on this Mariner's Seven Seas beautiful ship. And hopefully a bunch of people are going to join us. And Susan Kelly Costello is the owner of Kelly Cruises and Tours, who helped put this whole thing together. Susan, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I hope you're well on this gorgeous morning.
Oh, my gosh. It's just absolutely beautiful. And it's this perfect. Is my favorite time of year in Chicago. That is for sure.
Mine, too. But now summer has faded, Lou, and it's and fall is here. And, you know, we have to start thinking about what we're going to do next summer.
Absolutely.
You can think about what our plans are and where we should go and what's on our bucket list.
Well, I think a lot of people are very familiar with the name Kelly Cruises. You guys have been a WGN radio partner for many, many years. And
yeah, over
I know
10 years.
John Williams has done many tours with you, Kathy and Judy, Dean Richards.
Yes.
And finally, we've been able to put a trip together that we're going to be part of. And I know that for us, you know, we had a million questions and we have never done a cruise before. So this is our very first time doing it. I know that many of our listeners have done cruises, but talk a little bit about this trip and your experience with the Mariner Seven Seas, because I know that it's a ship that you have participated in other tours with and you couldn't say enough nice things about it.
I can't. Lou, the Regent Seven Seas is the name of the cruise line, and the name of the ship is the Seven Seas Mariner.
Got it.
And Regent is, Lou, for your first cruise, you're starting at the top. I mean, this is really an amazing cruise line, a fabulous concept, if you will. There's lots of different kinds of ships out there. They carry, you know, 50 people, something very smaller. A lot of the big ships carry 2,500, 3,500, 4,500 passengers. And what Regent does is this ship carries only 700 passengers. Every room on board is a suite. Everything is, for the most part, everything is included. And it just is a fantastic way to travel. We just love it. On board the ship, you know, your meals, your soft drinks, alcohol, gratuities, your Wi-Fi, which is so big these days, your shore excursions, it's really all included. And the service is phenomenal. All of these suites, they all have, every single one, from the lead-in price all the way up to the top, every suite has a balcony and a walk-in closet. If you want to call every morning and have, you know, your coffee and fresh-made croissants out on your balcony while you are just starting your day, no problem. So it's everything that we could want in a ship, and more.
I have a question for you, and I know this I haven't brought this up yet, and I don't know if this is even possible, but I would really love to see the engine of the ship. You think you can make that happen?
We have to check with the captain. They don't normally let you down there.
I know, but I think that with my listeners, I bet I could get a half a dozen people that would love to see that.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe that could be one of the excursions, the onboard excursion, and we could do it with a cocktail in our hand.
Well, not after too many cocktails.
Right. So this is this ship that, you know, I looked at on your website, and you sent me all this information, my wife and I, and it looks absolutely beautiful. The real beauty, though, is in the surrounding area, right, and where we're going.
Absolutely. The ship is beautiful, and the service and all of that, it's amazing. But the itinerary is, you know, is what everyone is going for. And if you recall, we chose this itinerary specifically. We at Kelly Cruises have always believed that the southbound sailing is the most optimal way to do this. So everyone would be flying up to Anchorage, so we get the long flight out of the way first, you know, plan on coming in a day prior, and then we come down to Seward, where we board the ship, and then we start out then in Hubbard Glacier,
And then we're on to Sitka, which, you know, Sitka is a temperate rainforest. Not sure if everybody knew that. It is so gorgeous. And then we're on to Juneau, which is the capital for many people. It is home to the Red Dog Saloon, which has more stories than any of us can ever talk about on the radio. From there, we're heading down to Skagway. That's where, you know, the famous White Pass Scenic Railway is. And then on to Ketchikan. And then as we're heading south, we're coming through the Inside Passage. We have that day at sea. Everybody is loading all their famous or their fabulous pictures onto Instagram.
Right, right.
And Facebook. And then the cruise ends in Vancouver on June the 12th. So we're June 5th through June 12th next year. And that, by the way, we also love this time of year because everything is in bloom. The flowers have bloomed, but we don't have some of the rain that we can get
right.
in July.
Right.
We hope the mosquitoes won't be too bad. But it really is. It's just a great time to go to Alaska.
One of the things that you mentioned when you were planning this trip was you also thought about, you know, obviously the travel to there, getting there is you know, you got to get there. You got to get to Alaska. But coming mm-hmm. south after you've had this fabulous mm-hmm. trip, you have learned that if you go north, when you get up north and then the travel and then leaving from Anchorage and coming home, it's like a gigantic event to get home.
It is.
And coming
yeah.
back to Vancouver at the end of your trip, you have the ability to have a direct flight
yes.
to get home.
Exactly. That's, you know, getting that long, as we said, getting that long flight out of the way at the
right.
beginning.
Because you're excited.
That day. Yeah,
right.
you're all excited.
Right.
It's great. And then when you come home from Vancouver, 4.5 hours, lots of nonstop flights home, and you're home same day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So
we're going for sure. So we just want people to join us, and all the information is on your website. How do they get there and give us a phone number and a website?
Sure. So it's kellycruises.com, K-E-L-L-Y, cruises with an S, .com. And all the information is up there. It'll be right at the top of the page. And our phone number is 630-990-1111. So we're so thrilled that you're finally joining
oh,
us.
Oh, yeah, we're very excited.
Such an incredible trip. We know it's going to be great. And, Lou, those groups, just to kind of give you an idea, I mean, the groups of WGN listeners that we have had the great fortune to travel with over the years, they are fun. They are so friendly. Everybody is excited. People come away with new friends and just really an amazing adventure for everyone.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Susan Kelly Costello, owner of Kelly Cruises and Tours, they have put together a fabulous trip to Alaska, June of 2019. If you'd like to join me and my family on that trip, just go to kellycruises.com or give them a call at 630-990-1111. Susan, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Oh, thanks, Lou. You too. Take good care.
Domati, I don't know where my head was at, but we have forgot to talk about the fact that a member of the Saturday morning crowd did something pretty special last weekend. I'm not sure that our audience knows, and I have a full admission here because I lied to the audience.
For shame.
But I did it. I did it. I did it in the meaning of love. Okay. So Joe comes to me last week and says, 2 weeks ago, and says, I need your help. And I am going to propose to my girlfriend. I go, no way. He goes, yeah, but I need you to be my cover. And I briefly saw Joe at the Sox game last night. And Joe, congratulations. I understand you got engaged.
I did. She said yes.
And how did it go? Can you take us through the kind of the blow-by-blow? What happened? I told the audience we were doing a show dinner. And that we were, or a lunch rather, because we've been trying to get together, but the person that's been standing in the way of doing this whole dinner was one Joe Brand, who didn't, you know, you were in the middle of your baseball season. You couldn't come out to dinner. So to take us through the whole thing.
Yeah, well, first off, I apologize for putting you in that spot to having to lie to everybody, but I really appreciate all your help with that, too.
Sure.
No, it was great. The plan was we were going to a place that she loves.
She has a name?
Allie. Allie Coble, yeah. Well, yeah, Allie Coble still.
Allie Brand. Pretty soon.
And we went to a place called Restoration Hardware, which Allie really enjoys. I wanted the fact that it was your idea to choose that place. Otherwise, if I told her it was my idea, she would have gotten suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
She went to grab a couple mimosas. I went to the air quotes bathroom. I went up to the rooftop, found somebody standing by with a phone saying, "Hey, I'm about to propose. Could you take a picture?" This innocent bystander had a fabulous iPhone X, so it was a great picture. The situation couldn't have worked out even any better. So I went upstairs and I said, Lou and the crew are looks like they're going to be a little late, and just went up to the rooftop, asked if she wanted to take a picture. That's where she got pretty suspicious, and dropped to a knee, bend the knee, and did it.
Wow. And I have a question. Allie, did you have any idea that he was going to propose
here,
to you?
She?
I was a little bit suspicious.
Not only is she here, but there's some people here.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a whole crowd in here that... And we have a little champagne, too, as a little toast. You can walk away from that microphone.
All right,
sure.
Okay.
You were a little suspicious?
Just a little bit.
How long have you two been dating?
Over 10 years, so I think...
Wait, which one is your mother? Oh, my gosh, she is, like, doing a high jump over here. 10 years, finally!
Well, we had a banner that said, finally, or it's about time, or something like that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
and it was
you.
A beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day. I was a little disappointed I didn't get to have lunch with you guys.
Well, it was all part of the lie that we had to perpetuate. There's Joe Brand walking into the studio. You can sit at a microphone, Joe. He's hugging, and everybody's getting kisses. And how about that for a nice little surprise, huh?
Yeah, you guys really know how to do it, huh?
I saw a beautiful picture of, so the iPhone picture that you sent with you down on bended knee was from some bystander.
Yeah, walked up. Like I said, there was this innocent girl reading a book and was just like, "Hey, I'm about to propose. Would you mind taking a picture?" And she said,
We left the show last week, and Lindsay and I were like, "Well, we need to buy them a bottle of champagne. You know, let's do it from the show." So we're Lindsay and I had driven in together, and we call, but they don't take reservations there.
Yeah.
So they had no idea that a Joe Brand was showing up. We're like, no, he's kind of this tall. And then Lindsay goes, "Well, what if they bring the champagne to the wrong person?" And there's no way to know who he is. And I go, "Oh, we'll have to figure something else out." So we brought some little champagne here. Do you want to introduce everybody, Allie, who's here with your posse here today?
Sure. I brought a posse. So my parents are here. My mom, Lisa, and my dad, Russell. And Joey's mom, Debbie, is here. Also, Joey's sister, Sam, and her daughter, Kylie, is here to tag along. And my aunt Kathy and Joey's aunt Kelly are also here.
Well, we highly recommend being married. It's a great thing. So congratulations to both of you. We have a little champagne here in plastic cups.
Thank you.
The best for you, Joe and Allie. So best wishes to both of you. All right. Congratulations.
Thanks, Lou.
Thanks
appreciate
for coming
that.
In. You're welcome. That's
love
nice.
You. Love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is good.
Hey, that's not bad. All right. It's 9:42 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to my dad.
He's America's home improvement hero.
He's really tall.
He's Lou Manfredini. And this is House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Amanda is in Racine. Amanda, you're on WGN. Thank you so much for hanging on. How can I help you?
Good morning, Lou.
How can I help
you? Good morning,
Lou. Morning.
I'm hoping you can help me make a decision on these floor coatings for garages. I don't know if they're all called TSR, but if you know anything about them or if you recommend,
Are you having it done?
Well, that's how it would be happening through a company.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, here's the thing. They're really nice, and they're not inexpensive, these epoxy coatings that they're going to put down there. You're probably going to spend in the neighborhood of $4 to $5 a square foot. Mm-hmm. What is it that you are – what's your ultimate goal in that garage floor?
Well, you know, it does already have a lot of – you know, the salt has eaten away at the cement, and it just kind of, you know, when you sweep it, it kind of just keeps coming up. And so they showed that they put, like, they fixed that, they patched that.
Right.
And so, and then they prepare it and everything. And so I'm just one, and they said it can take salt oils. So I was wondering.
And you're, and what do you have? Do you have like a two and a half car garage?
Yep, attached garage.
All right. Mm-hmm. And what are we talking about? $2,000 to $2,500. What's the estimates you're getting?
He first said $3,000, but okay. So.
All right. Here's one other thing I want you to look at before you pull the trigger on that. If you were just trying to make it look a little nicer and get some durability out of it, are you familiar with a company called WeatherTech?
I've heard you advertise.
Well, WeatherTech is a company you may know. They make these floor mats for your cars that are laser designed. Actually, whenever I buy a new car, the first thing I do is I buy the new car, and then I order the WeatherTech floor mats. I have no connection to the company other than the fact that they make really nice floor mats for the car. Now they make a bunch of different products as well, and one in particular is they make a garage floor system that is a click-together system that literally lies over your existing concrete, sort of like a sport court, super durable. You can drive on it. If water leaks through there, it'll still breathe through and pitch out. I think you can do that for less than $3,000.
Oh, good. Thank you for that suggestion. Yeah. I appreciate that.
So take a look at that as an option. And here's the beauty part of it. That coating for $3,000, there's a good chance that in a few years, it's going to peel up in a few sections. And it's going to drive you crazy that you just spent $3,000 and like 4 or 5 years later because of where we live. With this product from WeatherTech, if anything ever got damaged in a corner, you could buy a couple other panels and pop them back in for pennies based on what it would cost you to redo.
That's why I call Lou. Thank you.
You got it, Amanda. I appreciate you calling this morning. Let's talk with the break before we come back to your calls. Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Carol in Indian Head Park. Thanks, Carol, for hanging on so long. How can I help you?
Good morning, Lou. I have a question regarding our garage. We have a runner that's been on the floor there coming into the entrance of a family room, and the adhesive from the back of this runner is like embedded into the cement. And I was wondering if there's anything you could recommend that would disintegrate that or help me get it up more easily.
This is in the garage?
Correct. It's on a cement floor.
Okay. And here's what I want you to do. If you go to the hardware store or the home center, you can buy a chemical adhesive remover. Now, it's a pretty pungent product. It's petroleum-based. But you're going to apply that. You're going to apply that over the top of that. And I don't know if you heard me talking earlier about these nylon brushes that you can put in on the end of a drill.
Yes.
So you're going to buy that. That website is drillbrush.com. I love websites that actually are what they're supposed to be. And some hardware store.
Yeah.
But you can probably find it at a hardware store too. But you're going to apply this adhesive remover, and you're going to scrub it with this brush. I want you to wear eye protection, make sure the garage door is open, and you know, don't be sitting there sniffing it away. But it should break up that adhesive, put a little bit more on, scrub it, let it sit for a little bit, and then wipe it away. Use, when you're done with that, use something as simple as dish soap and a scrub brush to kind of rinse it all off when you're done, and that should do, actually, that's as good as it's going to get. So if that doesn't do it, and that adhesive has been there, you know, for 20 years, that might be as good as it gets.
I see. Yeah, it's been there for quite a while.
Yeah. So
I'll give this a try and see what happens.
You got it. I appreciate you calling, Carol. That's so nice of you to make House Smarts Radio part of your Saturday mornings. All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Domati Pongo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. We'll be right back.
Happy trails to you.
Time for Lou's last call. Thank you so much for listening. Lindsay for producing. Bob Ferguson for pushing all the buttons. Domati Pongo for just being Domati Pongo. And Joe Brand for getting off his horse like that with Happy Trails and getting engaged. Congratulations to Allie as well. Very nice to meet all of them, and only wish them the best.
Just sing a song.
Kathy in Northbrook is our last call. Hi, Kathy. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Oh, this is so exciting. I thought I was not going to make it.
You made it. How can I help you?
Okay. So I thought of two more questions while I was on hold. Basically, new construction, we want to put a vinyl floor in the basement. And I'm hearing that a very popular new product has a cork backing on it. And it's vinyl on top, so if water gets down there. And I've heard two different things, that you do not have to put a subfloor, or you don't have to put a vapor barrier. Mm-hmm. You just put the cork right on the cement, mm-hmm. which takes me to the bone dry thing that you just advertised.
I would definitely do that first, is use a concrete sealer like that bone dry first. But all of these luxury vinyl tiles that are out there now are 100% yeah. waterproof.
Right, but this is a little bit cushier, and people are saying that if it has a cork backing, it's actually antibacterial as a natural product of the cork. So if it does get damp, they're saying you don't really have to even peel it up. And it's kind of given me a little bit of a red flag, and I'm really not sure.
Well, I mean, the cork, yes, but the thing is, trapped moisture can accumulate anywhere. And so isn't, you know, there's... Yes, there's a benefit to the cork, and the feeling of the floor is, I get that. But I will tell you that a lot of the luxury vinyl tile now, because of the makeup of the material itself, it's much more comfortable to walk on. Right. It's not like you're walking on a ceramic. And right. if you seal out the moisture first, then we don't care what the backing is. And so, go ahead.
Excuse me. So if you do put the bone dry down, do you need to put some kind of a plastic or anything over that
is that good enough? Not with a luxury vinyl tile.
Okay.
It's 100%. It's 100% waterproof. You could throw it in a swimming pool, take it out, and then let it dry, and then walk on it again.
Is there a particular brand that you've come across that seems to be fairly reliable?
I mean, there's a bunch of different brands, and they're all sort of made the same. I think that I would tell you is this. If you go to flooring... suppliers as opposed to the big boxes, you're going to find a better selection. And with flooring, it has been my experience over all these years is that you get what you pay for. And so you spend a 50 cent more a square foot, you're getting a lot more than you are, you know, going for the $1.99 one. Okay.
Right. Okay. Perfect.
You got it.
Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate you calling this morning and being on House Smarts Radio. I had the opportunity yesterday to sit in with John Williams on his show from the Cork and Carry, and he even let me talk to Michael Kopech's dad for a couple minutes.
That's kind of fun. He seemed like a good guy.
He seemed like a really nice guy. It was interesting to me to think about how young that Michael Kopech, the pitcher, is.
Yeah.
And the road he has ahead to get out of this Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, yeah, we wish him well. His dad said it went well. He said, though, you know, people go, you get the Tommy John, like it's no big deal. So they put your son out for 2.5-3 hours. They open up his leg to get a tendon, and then they open up his arm to put it in there, and it's really painful. And if you're a parent, you feel for that kid. That's a big deal.
Right.
So we're at the game then afterwards. So then Lou and I go watch some of the baseball game. And I forgot that Lou isn't as big a White Sox fan as I am now. I'm the world's biggest White Sox fan.
You are.
Here's how I discovered that. Line drive to right, and it was hit by one of the Cubs early in the game. And as the ball is sinking towards the right fielder, I'm going, get it, get it, get it. No, no, I'm going, catch it, catch it, catch it.
Right.
And Lou goes,
drop.
And I didn't know. And I looked at you and I thought, oh, that's right. You're a big Cub fan.
But out of respect for our station, when, who was it? Smith? Who was the one that hit the three-run dinger, Joe?
Kevin Smith
hits the three-run dinger.
Yeah.
Place went crazy. You stood up and started applauding.
Yes, I did.
And I did, too.
Yes, you did. You did the way men do when their wife hits them with the elbow and the ribs and says, get up.
Oh, yeah. Yay. Look at the time. I got to go.
Actually, you do, and
I do.
Nice to see you, buddy.
Nice to see you, John.
And by the way, Lindsay and Lou, what a nice touch. You guys put the rest of us to shame when it comes to thoughtfulness.
Oh, stop.
And being proactive and spending a little money.
It was all Lindsay's idea.
Lou.
God bless you guys.
It was.